You're listening to the Marketplace Flash Briefing. I'm Kai Ryssdal. It's Friday, and we're taking a look back at the week. To be clear, nothing about this recovery, because the economy is big picture recovering, nothing about it has been easy for tens of millions of people. But the, shall we say, relatively smooth trend line to a better place is getting a good deal bumpier. Yes, we learned this morning the economy added 661,000 new jobs last month, and the unemployment rate fell to 7.9%. Also, yes, though, the rate of improvement of basically everything has slowed. And so we are, as I said, kind of at the place where the easy part's over and the hard part starts. Marketplace's Sabri Benishour gets us going with that.
You can actually thank Rebecca Hamilton for some of those 661,000 jobs that were created last month.
We have been hiring.
Hamilton is CEO of WS Badger, which makes organic skincare products and sunscreens in New Hampshire.
The future is very uncertain, but sales continue to be very strong for us.
Now, 661,000 net jobs created obscures the fact that 345,000 jobs were lost permanently. Zach Medford is a bar owner in Raleigh, North Carolina.
It's really tough to be in a bar owner right now. We closed our doors on March 17th, and we haven't been able to open them since.
He says more and more bars are shutting down for good. Across the U.S., job hiring is slowing down, and layoffs and bankruptcies are very much still with us. Seth Carpenter is chief U.S. economist at UBS.
Businesses that initially hung on for a while are now realizing that they either have to downsize or maybe even capitulate.
Not just small businesses either. United and American Airlines are laying off 32,000 people, and that's just two companies. Carpenter says state and local governments are also starting to let people go, especially in education. Jason Furman is professor of economic policy at Harvard. He has another concern.
Millions of people have left the labor force.
4.4 million, to be exact, have, at this point in the pandemic, just given up looking for work. This is bad because that exodus, that form of hopelessness, is really hard to undo.
After the Great Recession, to get people back into the labor force who had given up and left because of the Great Recession, that process wasn't even complete at the beginning of 2020, more than a decade into the economic recovery.
So yeah, we are going to be digging out from this for a while. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishour for Marketplace.
All right, so let's talk about how deep that hole is that we are digging out of. Also, a bunch of other stuff that happened in this economy the past 5 days. Heather Long is at the Washington Post. She covers the economy there. David Gura is at MSNBC. Hey, you two.
Hey, Kai.
Hi, Kai.
Heather, let me start with you and some reporting you did this week. You had a couple of stories, one of which was about the unevenness of this economy. And I want you to sort of test my premise that the easy part is kind of over now.
It very much is. And what we found is this is not just a big blow to a lot of the economy. This is the most unequal recession that we've seen in modern U.S. history. And what I mean by that is in the spring, low-wage workers lost their jobs at 8 times the magnitude of high-wage workers. And here we are 6 months later. We just got the September jobs report. And basically, you can sum it up like this. The recession is pretty much over for those at the top, while for the working class, it's still a depression-like blow. Particularly Black men and women are barely a third of their jobs have come back.
David Gura, three words, permanent job losses. They're on the rise.
Yeah, 345,000, as Sabri said in his piece. And, you know, when this recession began, there was a lot of optimism and hope that folks were being laid off temporarily, that we're going to get those jobs back. This is a sobering number within a sobering number today. As you mentioned, we had this kind of easier glide up. We're not seeing that again as a result of what happened today. But, you know, there are a lot of factors at play here, some of which were already factors before this recession took hold. Automation, for one thing. And now you have companies sort of wrestling with what the economy is going to look like when we are able to go out, when we are able to take trips again or go to the movies, and what that's going to look like. Something that the Fed chair, Jay Powell, has said since early days is, a lot of these jobs aren't going to come back. They're just not going to be people who are comfortable going to the movies the way that they were, going on trips the way they were. There is still a lot to be ironed out, a lot that's going to shake out here in the months to come.
We are in, as Powell likes to say, at the land of lasting damage to this economy. Heather, not that I've been stalking you this week, but you had a tweet in which you asked, and I think this is close to what it was, but correct me if I'm wrong. You basically said, talking about stimulus and Congress and what's going on with those negotiations, which do seem to have just a glimmer of life this Friday afternoon. But you said, I don't understand how Congress doesn't see how desperately needed more assistance is. And I guess answer your own question. Why don't they see it?
It's pretty crazy that we don't have another stimulus package. The economy is clearly stalling. The recovery is stalling. We still have nearly 11 million people out of work and moms. This has been a huge blow to mothers. Almost 900,000 women just left the workforce. They left their jobs. They stopped searching because they are trying to deal with taking care of kids at home right now while schools are mostly shut. There are just so many red flags still. And it's bizarre to me that Congress, and particularly the White House, you would think President Trump would want to boost the economy before the election.
So, David, we have to talk about the president, his diagnosis of late last night, my time, wee small hours on the East Coast. So look, it just seems to me that this just adds another layer of uncertainty to an already desperately uncertain economy.
I think that it does, and we certainly saw that in the kind of market movement that we saw overnight in those early morning hours. A lot of investors wondering what this is going to mean when it comes to the market. I think a big question is sort of what it means for the president's engagement with the economy that we've been talking about, with this administration's engagement with that. I mean, Mark Meadows was out today and not wearing a mask as he fielded questions from reporters on the heels of this. But he said the first thing the president asked about was the status of those stimulus negotiations. And the House Speaker does think that things have changed as a result of this, that the administration will take this more seriously because of what's happened to the president and his wife. But we are in strange terrain here. I think some would say maybe predictable terrain. But I remember Heather and I at the Federal Reserve holodeck at one of these press conferences early on when the Fed chair was asked, have you been tested for the coronavirus? And this is definitely the game that's been played across Washington today. You know, who is near him, who has this? And I think that it does change the tenor of the way that policymakers are talking to one another. And for those who are optimists, think that this might have an effect on those conversations that continue on Capitol Hill.
Heather, do you buy that? Do you think this changes the conversation about a stimulus package?
Definitely. If we were at 30% last night, we're probably at 60% today. And that is a pretty big game changer, thanks to the White House.
All right. So super quick on the way out here, something we talked about on the broadcast earlier this week, the idea that the bridge to the other side of this thing is now on individual Americans. As Congress debates and as the White House negotiates, I'm going to sound like a downer again. It gets worse from here, right? Until there's actually money flowing. Heather?
It definitely does. But if we do get that stimulus, I'll try to be on the hopeful note.
Okay. All right.
I think people have been incredibly creative in this economy. I think about a woman I spoke to who's a cleaner. She's dropped her prices. She's gotten more PPE to try to get more clients back. So people, I'm hopeful if we can get some money flowing and we can get some stability from the government. Still a big question mark.
David, last word to you, optimist or pessimist?
I'm trying to be optimistic, but I think going back to Heather's piece, and it is worth everybody reading, I mean, she talked to some folks there who are really eking by on really small amounts of money from the states in which they live. And you look at that and think about them building the bridge to the other side, and you just have to feel like there is a huge degree of impossibility there. If you're trying to get by on $87 a week, as somebody she profiled is, it gets incredibly difficult, if not impossible. So I'm an optimist at heart, but things seem more pessimistic as each day wears on, Kai.
Yeah, do read that piece. David Gura, MSNBC, Heather Long at The Washington Post. Thanks, you two.
Thanks, Kai.
Thank you.
That's all for today's Flash Briefing. For more news, visit marketplace.org.